This evening in our scripture reading, we're turning to the epistle to Timothy, first epistle to Timothy. As you know, written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy when he is in likely the beginnings of his ministry in the city of Ephesus. We're going to be looking at a latter portion of that epistle. We're going to be picking up reading at chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll read through 5, verse 2, but our sermon focus is really on verse 12 through 5, verse 2. We'll just read a little more to get the context. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Let's pray together and ask God for his blessing on his word. Lord our God, we come to you tonight to ask you that you would graciously bless your word to us by your Spirit, that you would be pleased to override, Lord, our weakness in preaching and hearing. Lord, we pray that you would cause the good seed of your word to be sown in our hearts, to bear fruit to your glory. Lord, we thank you that as we come to you, we know that you delight to hear and to answer the prayers of your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all enjoy watching perhaps great athletes or great musicians, don't we? We enjoy great works of art. Perhaps we're amazed by them. Maybe some of you watched some of the Olympics in the past couple weeks, and you marveled at the skills, the speed that some of these athletes have. And like often we enjoy watching them, but we don't often, maybe quite as often, think about how did they get to the point of being able to do that? How did they get there? Well, we know it's, as we think about it, it's many hours of training. I think the same of a great pianist. How do you get to that point? Many hours of practice, many hours of training, but also because they were all people who were taught. They learned from someone. Someone instructed them. Someone trained them. And they listened to that instruction. They followed that training. They worked hard, they practiced, and they trained. And through that, they came to a point where they were at the Olympics, and they ran, or they swam, and they did so in a way that's beyond most people's capability in this world. Well, what we see unfolded before us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verses we read and what we're going to focus on in verses 12 through 5, 4 verse 12, verse 5 through 2, is the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, instructing a young Timothy how to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. We read that in chapter 4, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus. It's really the context of what we're looking at tonight in these later verses, beginning at verse 12. If we look back just one step to verse 11, we see that Timothy is not only receiving God's word here for himself, it's clear that this epistle is meant to be for the whole church. And so even as Timothy is receiving particular instruction here, this is for everybody at Ephesus to hear in the church, the congregation, as they receive this at the beginning. It's for all of us. 4:11, command and teach these things. It's a refrain that Paul puts in 1 Timothy. We see it a number of times through the epistle. You could go all the way to the end of chapter 6, and we see him saying that there as well. And so Timothy, as a minister, is both called to take this up in his own life, to pattern this and to grow in this in his own ministry, but also to encourage the whole body in these things. And so that's what we're going to look at in these verses. Well, these verses, as we read through them, you might have noticed there are a lot of calls here, aren't there? There are a lot of imperatives, a lot of exhortations in these verses. We're going to look at them grouped almost verse by verse. Those of you maybe who take notes, I'll give you the headings here. Verse 12, Timothy, set an example. Verse 13, devote yourself. Verse 14, exercise your gift. Verse 15, practice to show progress. Verse 16, keep a close watch. And then chapter 5, 1 and 2, engage others well. So we begin with set an example. Now, Timothy is a young man. We look at verse 12. Paul says to him, as he's laboring here in ministry, Timothy, let no one despise your youth. He's young. He's called to serve in a place of leadership. And when we're young, the younger we are, we don't really have the kind of weight that comes with life experience. Older people in life, older believers, can have sort of a weight that comes just with life experience when they speak to others. But what about those of us who are young? We don't have that. I think we can probably all sympathize here with what Timothy must have felt. Timothy was probably somewhere in his late 20s, early 30s. He's called to serve in this church. There are older believers there. There are some false teachers there. There are problems and challenges in the church. And at times he probably felt that he was inadequate. Who was he, really, to be challenging others according to God's word, to be ministering to them? Well, Paul says, Timothy, don't shrink back. But instead, don't let anyone despise your youth. But instead, by the grace of God, seek to set the believers an example. Be an example to the believers. And if this is true for Timothy as a minister, isn't it true for all of us? Why does the Lord give ministers to his church? Well, to preach the word, to administer the sacraments. He also gives ministers and elders, by the grace of God, to seek to lead in Christian life, to show an example of what it is to live in repentance for sin, in trust in the Lord, in growth in new obedience. And so what's Timothy's called to here is certainly the call for all of us. And Timothy is to be exemplary in this. And the fact is, this is not only a call for Timothy. All of us as Christians are called to be examples to each other, examples to a lost world in sin. And so how is Timothy to do this? How is he to set an example, particularly within the church? Well, you see, Paul, by the Spirit here, gives a number of areas. As we look to the verse, we see he's to be an example in what? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So, first of all, in his words, in his speech, how can you and I be an encouraging example in the way that Timothy is being called to here, to fellow believers, to each other? Dads, moms, how can you be an example to your kids, to each other? Friends, families that know each other in the congregation here, how can you be an example? How can you be an instrument for good in each other's lives? Well, one way that you can, by the grace of God, looking to Jesus, work on and grow in this is by being an example in the way you talk, being an example in word. If we think about our words, we think about our speech, we know there are times where our speech certainly isn't what it ought to be. We sin with our speech. Think of James as he rebukes the use of the tongue for wrong things. But here's the beautiful counter to that. As Christians, the Lord gives grace and strength so that you can grow in the way you talk, in the things you talk about. And so Paul challenges Timothy and calls us here as a body to pursue being exemplary in your words, in your speech, thinking about how can I use my words to be kind, to be thoughtful, to point others to the Lord in my family. Maybe it's just a comment, giving thanks to the Lord. Say, hasn't the Lord blessed us with a beautiful day today? It could be many other ways of doing it. Talking about a sermon or a scripture passage that you read. Just asking how someone's doing. Having a genuine concern for them. Using words that will encourage them in the Lord. Well, secondly, the apostle calls Timothy here to be an example in conduct. Not only the way he talks, but in the way he acts. And this is a different facet of our lives, isn't it? We don't really think about it, but just our physical behavior, our conduct, can say a lot about us. Our words speak, our facial expressions speak, the way we do things. We can use that by the grace of God, our very bodies, our conduct, our actions, to bring blessing, to be an example to one another of the grace of Christ, of the goodness of the Lord. In a really simple way, boys and girls, to each other, how could you love each other in the way you act? Maybe it's by sharing your Lego or other toys with your brother or sister, seeking to be kind and generous. The Lord God has been so generous to all of us, blessing us with loads of blessing. So much kindness and goodness we receive from the Lord. So being kind and good to each other in the way we act, giving something that's good to another person, maybe holding the door open for someone else. Our conduct, our actions can be a beautiful means of living out the gospel along with our words. The apostle then goes on to say, also, in love, in loving others. We can read in Scripture elsewhere the call to walk in love as Christ has loved us. We can love, and how do we start to grow in love? It has to begin by understanding what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us as sinners. In knowing who God is, understanding our own sin, God's, again, incredible love to us is the engine that will stir up our love and warm it and increase it so that we will be able to walk in love more and more as Christ has loved us. And so, Timothy, be exemplary in loving. Add that to your list. Maybe make a little list of notes somewhere beside your bed that when you get up in the morning, or put it up on the fridge. Seek to pursue a good speech, loving conduct, loving with our hearts, having a desire to love those around us. And then in spirit, he says, living with a spiritual mindset. We could be exemplary through ourselves being spiritually aware of God, of spiritual reality, that there's a heaven and a hell. Caring about the lost. So in spirit. And then living in faith, taking the Lord at His word with a trust and a confidence. And finally, the apostle says in this verse, walking in purity. What does that mean? Both avoiding sin, but also being quick to repent and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ when we have sinned, to seek after new obedience, to grow in holiness. Well, this short, packed verse here gives us this beautiful outline, how we can live as examples to each other. Set an example. We bring glory to God. We bring great encouragement to others when we do this. And we know it ourselves, don't we? What blessing it's brought to us when someone has been kind to us in their conduct. What blessing it's brought to us when someone has spoken encouraging, faithful words to us and has loved us. Well, in verse 13, the apostle now calls Timothy to devote himself. See, give attention, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Timothy is called to minister the word of the living God. And what Paul is speaking of here, to reading, it's the public reading of Scripture. We see exhortation, which is preaching, to doctrine, to teaching, the sound truth of God's word. And so Timothy has a particular call to this. He's set apart as a minister. He's being supported by the church of Ephesus to be devoted to the ministry of the word. And that's a beautiful thing we should be thankful for. We should pray for. Pray for your pastor, Pastor Macedo, that the Lord would help him to grow in being, giving his attention to, giving himself to the word of God, to minister it richly in the context of the congregation here. Pray for your elders, that they would grow in shepherding and ministering the word as they shepherd. You know, most of us don't have this as our primary calling in life. We have callings of taking care of families, of going out to work somewhere through our days. And so how does this apply to us? Well, even if this is not our primary calling, right, as we're not called to be ministers, at the same time, we are called in Scripture to let God's Word dwell in us richly. We are called to have the Word of God in our hearts and minds and in our speech. The minister is there to equip the saints in ministry. And so we have this calling as well. The whole body of the church should reflect this same kind of pattern in our own lives. And we don't come to church simply to consume and to absorb and to enjoy another good sermon and simply to take it in like a sponge and hold it in. No, our calling as well is even as the word is ministered to us, to then ourselves be people who give attention to the word, who are fed and nourished by that, and that increases our hunger for the word, and we grow in it and we give attention to it, and through this are enabled to minister to one another. Well, verse 14, the apostle now calls Timothy to exercise the gift that he has received. We read there, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." Timothy was ordained to be a minister. The elders laid their hands on him as he was ordained in that ordination service. And the apostle reminds Timothy here that he was called to this ministry, and it was declared so. It was made plain in his case through prophecy, through the declaration of God's word, that Timothy had this specific calling. So Timothy says, called here, the Lord is saying to Timothy by Paul, "Timothy, you have this gift, you have this calling. Exercise it. Don't neglect it." Timothy might have wanted to pull back. It seems from this epistle he was kind of a shy guy, hesitant, and he needed encouragement to keep on. And he was facing hard things here in the church. The church at Ephesus was divided. There was trouble in the church. And Timothy needed to press forward in faithfulness with the gifts that God has given him. Well, the same challenges can be true in any of our lives. Whatever your calling is, if you're farming, if you're welding, you're working in a shop, you're an engineer, you're an architect, you're a mom, a homemaker, there are times when things at work get hard, when things at home are hard. And it can be a long season of being difficult. And sometimes in the face of those difficulties, our desire, our tendency, isn't it? We would just like to quit. We just want to pull back. And there are times where we do need rest, but the Lord has given each one of us gifts and callings, just as Timothy was given. And so, just like Timothy here, we as well, when things are difficult, or maybe when we start to get lazy in our calling, we need to remember that we have gifts given to us by the Lord. We have callings given to us, and we're to lean into them, to move on forward in them, to ask the Lord for renewed strength, for wisdom and grace, and to actively use the gifts that He's given to each one of us to His glory. The Lord promises to us that when we wait on Him, He will renew our strength. Well, Timothy is as well to practice these things. The translation in verse 15 says, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them." The word "meditate" there can also be translated "practice these things." Really seems to have the combination of both thinking about these things and also doing these things. And so Paul is really pressing this a little further on Timothy here and on us. You know, be devoted, be an example, exercise your gifts, and think about it and do this, Timothy. Give yourself to these things. What would it look like in your life? Some of you young men and women here are probably high school students, maybe homeschooled, maybe Christian high school, maybe another school. What would it look like in your life? You look to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sin, trusting in Him, and you're called to be a student right now. And you think about that. The Lord has made me. He has saved me by His grace, called me to Himself, and He's given me the calling right now of being a student. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about God's word here, and I'm going to give myself to that calling in a new way, to seek to love the Lord in it, to glorify Him in it. What would it look like? dads and moms, in your calling as fathers and mothers, to meditate on these things, to think about these things, and to put them into renewed practice, and to give yourself to that calling. Again, looking to the Lord, praying to Him, Lord, help me, forgive my sin, my failures, and Lord, I want to take this up again, more thoroughly, in a new way. Well, the apostle says to Timothy here, do these things, give yourself, so that all your progress may be evident to all, so that everyone can see your progress. If Timothy does this as a minister, people in the church will be encouraged. Why will the congregation be encouraged? Because Timothy is growing as a Christian. He's loving the people in the church better. He's starting to preach sermons that are a little better because he's growing spiritually and he's stretching himself. He's becoming better at having conversations with people and shepherding them and doing all the work that a minister does. What about for you? Every one of us here has a calling. Think about your calling. The Lord has put you into. You take hold on of that. You give yourself to it. And in reliance on the Lord, you a new start begin to grow again and you start to progress. Our Christian life has its ups and downs as we travel on to glory. But you take hold, and then your children see something. They see, you know, mom's a little different. Wow, she's just so loving to me. Or, well, she challenged me in this. Or, well, just, she's more cheerful. Or dad. He doesn't seem to complain about work quite as much as he used to. And there's change that takes place. Our dad's starting to lead devotions and family worship or reading the Bible and just more in a different way. What would happen if we took this word of the Lord to us tonight and we took hold of it prayerfully and we pursued it, and by God's grace, this word bore fruit in our lives. There's this ripple effect through our homes, through our congregation here, and out to those around us. And our progress, our Christian growth and change starts to become evident to each other. It'd be beautiful and wonderful. Well, Timothy is also exhorted, verse 16. We come now to our second last point here. Keep a close watch. What does the apostle say there? Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So Timothy, again, a particular calling of a minister here. He needs to keep a close watch on himself. And keep his eyes on the Word. Pay attention to sound doctrine and keep on in these things. And particularly in his calling as a minister, this is really important. Now it says, by doing so, you'll both save both yourself and your hearers. Now Timothy, of course, is not saved in terms of being justified by doing this. What's the apostle saying then? Well, the apostle is very clearly, he proclaims that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And yet, with the salvation, the saving he's talking about here is really spiritual life and growth and vitality. The life of God's salvation being worked out in him and in the congregation and bringing salvation as well to those who hear and who see. So again, how do we bring this application to ourselves? Well, we also need to keep a close watch on ourselves. And we need to think about how we're doing spiritually. You see, Timothy's greatest danger in ministry was not something out there. It wasn't an angry old man in the congregation or a young false teacher in the congregation. That wasn't his biggest problem. Timothy's greatest danger was not that the emperor Nero was going to unleash persecution on the church. That's not the biggest problem. Just as if our nation would continue to slide and we might face persecution, that is not our biggest problem or greatest danger. Our greatest danger is internal. It's our own sin. And that's why the apostle says, Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself. Keep your eye on the word, on the doctrine. Be vigilant. How do we do this? We do this by listening to the word as God speaks to us by it. Listening as the Lord uses fellow Christians to speak into our lives. And as we take hold of the means of grace, as we continue in these things, what will happen? We will be kept. The Lord enables us to persevere. Yes, He's the one who preserves us, but He also calls us to continue, to persevere, to persist in these things, even by the grace He supplies. Well, Timothy is a minister, and he has that calling of gospel ministry, and we see that in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, as we see this final exhortation here from the apostle in this section of the text. He's called to engage other people well. And the apostle says there, 5, verse 1, don't rebuke an older man, but exhort him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Again, Timothy has a calling as a gospel minister. He's a young man. And so how is he going to live out the ministry in this church? There are older people. Well, he's to do it with respect. There's a relational aspect to his ministry. Older women, he's to honor as mothers, to treat as he would treat his mother with respect and honor. Older men as fathers, to exhort them, to encourage them, and not to be rude towards them. And younger men, to treat them as his brothers, as his equals. Younger women as his sisters with all purity. What about for us as a body together? Our relationships with each other are another facet of the way that we together can grow in glorifying God. Here in this room, you all know each other to varying degrees. Even as Timothy as a minister is called to this in a particular way, what about us? We can take up the same passage, the same words, living with respect and regard to those who are older than us, loving one another faithfully and well, regarding each other with purity, encouraging each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. The language here of the text is the language of a family, isn't it? Paul's saying, Timothy, the church is your family. Regard them as such, your spiritual family. Well, there is a great deal of richness here that we've covered in these brief moments together as we've looked at this text. If we look at these verses, wouldn't we love it? I think we could all say this. If the people around us looked more like this, wouldn't it be wonderful? Imagine someone really being shaped by these words and their speech, the way they act, their love, their faith shining out, setting an example, practicing and seeking to grow as a Christian. It's wonderful when we see that. It's encouraging. And so, brothers and sisters, wouldn't it bless those around us if each of us, if we, by God's grace, took up these words. You know, the pattern that Timothy is being called to here, this is the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's becoming Christ-like, more like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his word, Christ's word, through Paul to Timothy and to us. He's calling us to himself, to grow in his grace, to grow into what we were created to be and what we've been saved to be at such great cost. Well, let's turn to our Lord now in prayer and ask him that he would enable us to walk according to this, his word. Let's pray. Lord our God, we bow before you. We thank you for these riches of your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would enable us to grow into these exhortations, these encouragements that you've given us this evening. We thank you that your word abides forever, that all scripture is profitable for us, is good for us. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would forgive our sin, that you would bless us in these things, that by your grace in the coming week we would grow in this some, and the week after some more, and through our days until we breathe our last breath and enter your glorious presence. We pray this in Jesus' name.